Hello, this is Gideon Rothstein. I am here with a responsible day for the 8th of Sivan. Since for many of you this might be the first one you're hearing, because this is the second one in the series, I recorded, pre-recorded one, I pre-recorded all these because I am not in control enough of my schedule to be confident to record it on the day. So these are all pre-recorded, but I pre-recorded one for the 7th of Sivan, which I would love to have people outside of Israel go back and listen to. But just to briefly introduce ourselves, until next Matan Torah, going to take a responsum a day. And by taking a responsum a day written on that Hebrew calendar date, first of all, it will put us in more contact with the Jewish calendar, which for me, I always have known is a tenuous situation. I frequently, unless I make myself remember, don't always remember what day of the Hebrew month it is, and I think that it's better if Jews are operating in some sense on a Jewish calendar. This will keep us in mind of the Jewish calendar, and also puts us with the history of halacha in a way that we don't always get, in that we will be learning a tshuva written on that day, however many years before. So for today, the 8th of Sivan, we're going to take a tshuva of Igrot Moshe, of Rav Moshe Feinstein, perhaps the premier posek of the 20th century. One of the things I like about this series as well is that it puts us in touch with a range of the halach decisors of yesteryear, gets us to know a little bit people who we know by name, perhaps, and by reputation, but let us know a little bit about their life's work. So today we're going to see a tshuva of Rav Moshe Feinstein. This is from Igrot Moshe Yoredeya, that section of Yoredeya, Chelek Aleph, the first section of it, Siman Reish Chaf Bet, 222. It was written on the 8th of Sivan in 1952, Tufshin Yud Bet. It's written to the Chechnova Rebbe, who wanted to, there was a question raised by the Shalmei Nedarim, a sefer, had raised the following question. There's going to be an underlying issue to think about. The question was, how could it be that an important rabbi, an important Torah scholar, is obligated to visit the sick, even though those sick people are, in many cases, much less honored by halacha, and they're in a much less honorable position than this gadol? Isn't it beneath the Torah scholar's honor to go visit that person? Now, I want to be clear, as we discuss the question, when we speak about the honor of this Torah scholar, we don't mean, and Rav Moshe is going to get into this a little bit at the end, but we don't mean the Torah scholar has chosen to think of himself, or today herself, as honored in that way. We mean that halacha requires a Torah scholar to act in certain ways befitting the Torah this person has acquired. So that's an obligation and a requirement much more than a question of personal arrogance. And it's an important line to draw, and it's easily and problematically gone over. Right? It can easily happen that people think, well, I have to treat myself X way because I'm a Torah scholar. That's a problem of its own. But today we're going to be talking about the question of how could it be that we require, as we do, that we require Torah scholars to visit the ill, even if the person who is ill is much less respected than the Torah scholar himself? Shouldn't that be beneath the Torah scholar's appropriate sense of what the honor of a Torah scholar requires? Right? Isn't it a zilzul b'chavad Torah, is the question. Doesn't it denigrate the honor of Torah? So this Rav had offered an answer that, based on a Maharsha, that just going somewhere doesn't count as a denigration or derogation of one's honor. Rav Moshe doesn't like the answer. Rav Moshe Feinstein says, but if it's beneath the person's honor, and it's a zilzul ha-Torah, if it's really mistreating Torah, a very important issue, I think, to think about that question. It can certainly be taken to wrongful extremes, but the idea that Jews are supposed to walk around with an honor for Torah and those who have acquired Torah knowledge, I think Rav Moshe is going to be talking about it. Everybody's going to be assuming in the context of the conversation, and it's something that we today have to keep in mind. If we meet people who have great amounts of Torah knowledge, we're supposed to treat them with a kind of honor. It's not an honor to that person as much as an honor for the Torah itself, and something to be aware of. Rav Moshe is saying, though, if the person going is not going to be seen in any way as a zilzul ha-Torah, if it's not going to be noticed because going somewhere doesn't count as a zilzul, as a denigration, a mistreatment of Torah, then obviously he has to go. So that doesn't answer the question. The question was, If it's a zilzul haTorah, how can the Torah scholar go? So if your answer is, well, just going to visit a chola is not a zilzul haTorah, is not a denigration of Torah, then you've missed the question, because the question is, what about where it is? So the Rosh points out that in that situation where it's not, then even for a lost object, the Torah scholar would have to be the one to pick it up and take care of it and bring it and return it to the person who lost it, because there's no zilzul haTorah there. Whereas in general, the halacha is about hashavat aveda, about returning lost objects, that if it's beneath the Torah scholar's honor to do so, then he's not required to do so. So that can't be the answer. Meaning, if the answer is there's no zilzul haTorah here, there's no problem for the honor of Torah based on him going to visit the person who's ill, that gets away from the question. The question was, how could it be that in situations where it is a lack of honor to the Torah scholar? So that's his rejection of the answer. And then he has the Cheshen of a Rebbe had suggested another answer. His second answer was that maybe when it comes to Bikur Cholim, to visiting the sick, everybody knows that the Torah scholar is doing a mitzvah. And if you're doing a mitzvah, there's no such thing as it's beneath the Torah scholar's honor. That's an interesting suggestion, but Rav Moshe still thinks that it's incorrect, that it doesn't work. Why? Because when Torah scholars do things in public that are mitzvos, and they work hard at it, he thinks that's for a different reason. And here's the different reason that it is that he's going to get to. So he says that this Rebbe had offered the following source for the idea that if it's a mitzvah, Torah scholars are allowed to do it, even though it would ordinarily be seen as beneath their honor, that Moshe Rabbeinu serves a meal to his father-in-law Yitro when he comes to visit. So Moshe Rabbeinu is obviously a greater Torah scholar than Yitro was, and yet he is the one to serve the meal, and that shows that he didn't have to care about his honor in that situation. He was allowed to serve his father-in-law a meal. Rav Moshe does not like the proof, because that comes to a different issue, and that different issue is that when the greater person is providing the meal, that's when he's allowed to do it. Why? Because we have a couple of examples of that in the Gemara, that if the person who is the host of the meal is allowed to serve the guests, even if the guests, in some cases, are the students of the host. Right? So Rav Moshe is pointing out, in the Gemara you have cases where the Rebbe, right, the one who's the teacher, and in the Gemara's time, Rebbeim were Rabbanim Mufakim. They were people who the student might have been with that Rebbe for decades, right, for years. If the Rebbe is the host, then the student is allowed to accept being served by the Rebbe. So there's a Gemara in Kiddushin that talks about that, and Rav Tzadok in the Gemara in Kiddushin, Lamed Bet, points out that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that Hashem, gives us our meal every day, and he uses that as proof that the host is allowed to serve the guests, even though the guests are significantly less important or significant than the host. And an example of that as well is that Avraham Avinu served his guests when they were the angels, even though those angels appeared to Avraham Avinu not as angels, but they appeared to him as Arabs. Arabs are certainly less important than Avraham Avinu was, and yet Avraham Avinu was allowed to serve them because he was the host. Rav Moshe is saying, so that's not a good proof of anything, because when you're a host, that's a whole different exception. So Moshe Rabbeinu's actions there cannot tell us about our situation. Not only that, Rabbi Gamliel, when he made a wedding for his son, he served a bunch of Torah scholars as well, and once again, that was because he was the host. But a better example, Rav Moshe says, is the Gemara Kiddushin on Daf Ayin says that when Rav Nachman was building a house or having a house built for him, he put up a ma'akeh, right? When one has a roof or some kind of higher up platform that needs a fence on it, there's a mitzvah in the Torah to put a fence around it called a ma'akeh. Rav Nachman made the ma'akeh himself, even though people could see it and they were watching it, because that's a melechet mitzvah. That is an obligation of mitzvah to do, and therefore to do a mitzvah in public, one is allowed to do it. That's not seen as a zilzul in one's kavod. That's not seen as, taking away from one's honor, and from there, Rav Moshe says, you can learn for all the mitzvah. So exception number one is that to do a mitzvah in public is not seen as a lowering of even a great Torah scholar's honor, and that's because it's a mitzvah. But That's not true of Hashavat Aveda. When it came to returning lost objects, the Torah had, Rav Moshe thinks what the Torah's innovation was, or novel piece of information was that if this Torah scholar would not have done whatever it took to save his own money, so let's say, somebody, you know, I'm walking along, and somebody's $5 bill blows out of their hand into the river right nearby, and they don't know how to swim. This Torah scholar that we're talking about, not me, this Torah scholar we're talking about sees a $5 bill, gets blown into the river, and it's being taken away by the river, and the person, whoever it is, for some reason cannot go into the river to get the money back. But the Torah scholar could. The Torah scholar could jump in the river and swim or walk or run, or whatever the river is, and pick up the $5 bill. But would not have done so if it was his own $5 bill, because the honor of the Torah scholar requires him to act in certain ways in public. Since it requires him to act in certain ways in public, this would not be included, and therefore the Torah scholar, this is what Rosh is saying, and therefore, since he wouldn't do it for his own money, he's now required to do it for other people's money. And that's what the Kiddush is. Because Rava says, in Bava Metzia Daf Lamed, without the pasuk, we would have thought that the mitzvah, Hashavat Aveda, the mitzvah of returning people's lost objects, has nothing to do with what I would do for myself or what this Torah scholar would do for himself. It has to do with somebody else lost money. To them, it's important. Therefore, I'm required to help them. So the Kiddush of the Torah is that when it comes to returning lost objects, it's no more than one's own would be required. Now, you can expand that, and then it becomes a very interesting thing to think about, right? If it's true for every person that what they do or they don't do, but it's at least in the context of a Torah scholar, and what kind of impact on his honor itself he would accept or feel the need for his own money, that's the standard at which we do it for Hashavat Aveda, for returning lost objects. From that, you also get the question of giving testimony in court. So a Torah scholar is not required to help others with testimony in court to help there to protect their money if it would be beneath his honor. Once again, the same standard would apply. The standard would be if this Torah scholar wouldn't do it for his own money because he would feel it would be beneath his honor, the kind of honor he's required to maintain for the honor of Torah, that would all the more so be true. That would the same thing be true in terms of testifying for others for the exact same reasons. The same thing he thinks Rav Moshe now says applies is a case in the Gemara where Rav Shmuel ber Rav Yitzchak would juggle at a wedding. Rav Ketubos talks about that. And somebody else who saw it, Rav Zeru who saw it, thought it was inappropriate. He thought it was a Torah scholar should not be doing such things in public. It was too much levity from a Torah scholar for that situation, he thought. He was being mezalzel in the covet of Torah and treating himself too lightly. That's what Rav Zeru thought. So Rav Moshe says the argument between them was that Rav Zeru was thought that this Rav Shmuel bar Yitzchak would not have done it at his own daughter's wedding. Maybe Rav Zeru knew that he wouldn't have done it at his daughter's wedding, but he would not have done it at his own daughter's wedding, and therefore, if you wouldn't do it at your own child's wedding, then you don't have any reason you have to do it at other people's weddings. As opposed to Rav Shmuel bar Yitzchak knew about himself that if his daughter got married, he would be so excited, he would have danced that way, he would have juggled, he would have this, he would have that, and therefore felt that he was allowed to do it. So notice the context that Rav Moshe is putting into. Rav Moshe is saying that the obligation of honoring Torah scholars is such that, and their obligation to honor themselves is such that they have to think about whether what they're doing would be the kind of thing they would do for themselves, and if it would, then it's permitted, but if they wouldn't, then it's a not. And when Rav Zera says he's mistreating Torah scholars, he's upset about it in the context of how do people think of Torah scholars, what's the image of Torah scholars given themselves, meaning if the image of Torah scholars is they're always dignified, they're always this, they're always that, people have a certain attitude towards Torah, whereas if Torah scholars start treating themselves lightly, that encourages and leads to other people treating Torah scholars lightly as well. It's not exactly the same thing, but it comes up in the context of political leaders, let's say. You know, what are the things that one is allowed to do around the president or not do around the president? What are the things that the president does around himself or not does around himself, right? When presidents first began appearing on late night television, for example, there were those who were unhappy about it because they said, you know, it's beneath the honor of a president So I'm not going to get into American politics and whether or not the president should or shouldn't do X or Y or Z, but that idea that it's important to maintain the dignity of an office is an idea that's coming up here in terms of maintaining the dignity of what it means to be a Torah scholar, because if a position is dignified, and the position of Torah scholar is a position, that lends dignity to the whole institution. So if the president, for example, were to tell people, oh, you don't have to call me Mr. President, you have to call me Barack, that would be a lessening of the dignity of the position with a Torah scholar as well. There's that balance of what is the Torah scholar allowed to do in terms of it, there's a value to doing it, and what is it the Torah scholar is required to do for the dignity of the position. So that's a balance of that. So Moshe's standard is that whatever the Torah scholar would do for members of his family, Rav Moshe thinks he's allowed to do for others as well, and that will not be considered a denigration or a lowering of the value of the position. So, with the juggler, the reason why Rav Shmuel Bar Yitzchak's juggling wasn't a problem, the reason why Rav Zeira thought it was a problem was Rav Zeira thought, this isn't the way Torah scholars act, and they wouldn't act this way for their own children either, and therefore it's a problem. Rav Shmuel Bar Yitzchak, for Rav Moshe, was saying to himself, no, I think I would. I think that a family simple would be so exciting. This is what I would do there as well. And once I can do it for my own daughter, I can do it for any kala to make her wedding, for any bride, for any groom, to make their wedding more enjoyable. So when it comes to Birka Cholim, Rav Moshe says that would be the same standard to use. If somebody related to this Torah scholar was ill, of the same level as whoever the current ill person is, would the Torah scholar forego the dignity of his position in order to go visit that person? If it's true that he would for a brother, a sister, a child, whoever it is, then Rav Moshe holds it could be true. It could be true for a regular ill person as well. Then he comes back to the original question, and he says that the question was, let's say that the Torah scholar knows that for his own ill relative, he would not have gone. And therefore, you would have said that the Torah scholar perhaps shouldn't go for these people as well, because it's a lowering of his dignity. And we learn it from Avedah, from returning lost objects, and that there are times when we're not required to go. One last option that the Cheshen of a Rebbe had offered was that maybe it's a question of pikuach nefesh, and that's why you can go. Now, why would you think of visiting the sick as pikuach nefesh, right? So if the person is deathly ill, maybe you could say, well, by visiting them, I'm going to keep them alive. But he's saying it's only in that situation. Why? Because in that situation, we can always say, well, we generally say in halacha, as we saw in yesterday's tshuva as well, and let me take this opportunity to say that not all of these will be medical. I just happen to have stumbled across two medical ones for 2 days in a row, but they're certainly not all going to be medical at all. So when it comes to pikuach nefesh, we say that saving lives pushes aside everything. So Rav Moshe says, I don't think that makes sense, because if that was the situation, then there wouldn't have been a question to begin with. Certainly if it's pikuach nefesh, the Torah scholar can go visit the ill person. That can't be the question. Now, the problem with Rav Moshe saying that is, and he says, by the way, and it's true, even if you can't visit at all and you're just going to pray for the person, that also puts aside certain things. So, for example, davening on Shabbos. We generally don't daven for people on Shabbos, but it's an example of it's a real issue would be pikuach nefesh. Then you can daven for somebody even on Shabbos. And maybe, and he also says, you don't know that it's going to be pikuach nefesh before you get there. There's a Gemara in Nedarim on Daf Mem Omed Aleph, where Rabbi Akiva goes to visit one of his students who was ill, and nobody else had been visiting him. So Rabbi Akiva hears nobody's visiting this student for whatever reason, and he goes to visit him, and he sees that there are various needs in the student's room. He needs to have the room cleaned and whatever it is needs to be taken care of, and it gets taken care of. And the student says to Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi, you saved my life. It's a very famous story. It's the source for the idea that Birka Cholim, that visiting the sick can be life-saving, because Rabbi Akiva says that's what had happened in that situation. And that would seem to be a situation where Rabbi Akiva is visiting someone who is, in the Torah, dignified Torah scholar sense, lesser than him, and that Rabbi Akiva yet goes. So the Church of the Rebbe suggested that's what the answer to the question. The answer is, it's pikuach nefesh. Problem is, Rav Moshe is going to point out a couple of problems with that. First of all, that the question would sound like it's even whether there's no danger to life, because if it's only when there's danger to life, then, as I said before, that should push aside everything else, especially since we generally also say in Halacha, if I have to choose, if a person has to choose between going to Bidu Nichum Avelim, to pay a Shiva call, or Bikur Cholim, or visit the sick, we do Nichum Avelim first. And if we only have time for one, we'll only do the Nichum Avelim. Rosh says that can't be true for a Pikuach Nefesh kind of Bikur Cholim, a visiting of the sick that is going to save the person's life. That clearly can't be right. So also she says, in the case of Rabbi Akiva in Nidarim, he thinks it was where there wasn't a Pikuach Nefesh, and that's why all the other people didn't go visit. Meaning, the premise of the case is that Rabbi Akiva heard that nobody was visiting a certain kid, and therefore he went to visit him, right? But how could those other people have not been visiting him if it was a Pikuach Nefesh, it was a life-saving situation? Now, Rav Moshe doesn't say it, but he has to be assuming that when the kid says to Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi, the word in war is Hakitani, you revived me. Rav Moshe seems to be assuming, and I'm not saying he's wrong at all, but he seems to be assuming that Hechitani doesn't mean you saved my life. It says you've revived me, I feel much, much better. But not necessarily as Pikuach Nefesh. So that's a question how to understand that the Gemara in Nedarim. The Chesed never ever wanted to say that it's the Pikuach Nefesh element. It's the life-saving element of visiting the sick that allowed Rabbi Akiva to lower himself that way, and that would be true of Torah scholars. And Rav Moshe is saying that can't be right, because if it was that serious a situation, first off, it would be really odd that nobody else was visiting him, and second, it wouldn't be any kind of a surprising statement to make to say that that a Torah scholar is allowed to do it. So Rav Moshe Feinstein says that the real answer to the question is that even if this Torah scholar wouldn't visit his own ill relatives in the situation, right? He would think it's so beneath his duty, his dignity to do it, because, you know, it just is, that he wouldn't visit his own relatives, that really when it comes to Bikur Cholim, it doesn't work. It would work for Hashavat Aveda. So let's remember, it's appropriate and acceptable for a Torah scholar to say, for me to do X, whatever X might be, is so beneath my dignity that I'm not going to do it, even though it would save your money. Example of the river seems to me still a good example. Let's say this is a Torah scholar who would never get dripping wet in public, and this Torah scholar is walking along a river, and somebody's $5 bill blows away, and the person says, oh no, my $5 bill, and I don't know how to swim, and it's there in the river, and all the Torah scholar has to do is jump in the river, but that would get him fully wet, and swim to the money, get the money, bring it back. Torah scholar is allowed to say, that is not something I would do in public. I would not do it for my own $5. I'm sorry to say, I'm not going to do it for your $5. Theoretically, that would then apply to Bikur Cholim. If to visit this sick person would take some kind of effort or some kind of denigration of one's personal honor that the Torah scholar would not feel necessary to do for the ill in his own family, Rav Moshe is now saying, nonetheless, the Torah scholar is supposed to do it for Bikur Cholim. And that's where the question arises. And now we're going to see the answer. That even though he wouldn't do it for his own relative, the answer is that's an error on the part of the Torah scholar. That when it comes to somebody who is ill and they're having physical pain, even if there's no danger to their life, that should be important enough to a person that they would feel the need to do it, certainly for their relatives, let alone, and then from there to other people as well. In other words, Rav Moshe is saying that really the answer is that when it comes to personal dignity, when it comes to visiting the sick, the Torah scholar is not supposed to be thinking in those terms. When it comes to returning a lost object, it's appropriate. When it comes to dancing at a wedding, it's something to think about. When it comes to testifying in court, it's something to think about. When it comes to visiting a person who's sick, that's not for emotion things. That's not an issue that should arise. And that is true in halacha. There are people who are Torah scholars, Then there are people who are honored for other reasons in the community. So people who are honored for other reasons also can think in these terms, right? In terms of Hashavat Abedah, in terms of returning a lost object, that comes up as well, because the Torah talks about, let's say, or the Halacha talks about, let's say you have somebody who's elderly, and as an elderly person, they wouldn't, you know, run, and they wouldn't put out certain kinds of physical effort. If they wouldn't do it for themselves, they're not required to do it for lost objects. So when it comes to the question when it comes to the question of Bikur Cholim, there's a question as well. So those some hold that a mechubad bi'alma, somebody who's generally honored and therefore wouldn't race to or wouldn't do certain physical activities to try to get back their own money, they're not required to do it for others as well. So such people aren't, Rabosha would say, allowed to say that about themselves when it comes to visiting Torah, to visiting the ill. That's true of Torah scholars as well. But even, Rav Moshe says, the people say that even just the mechubad bi'alma is not required to do it, and because somebody else's money is no more than their own money, when it comes to this, they're required to do it. So that's Rav Moshe's fundamental answer to the question. Fundamental answer to the question is that when it comes to visiting the sick, we're not supposed to be thinking in these terms. We're not supposed to think of it as a question of personal honor, because the pain of the other person is supposed to be sufficiently important to us that we know that even the Torah scholars among us know that they, and even the honored among us, wouldn't ordinarily do this. We do this for others because it's part of helping them out. As the very last piece, he points out that the Rush held that when Rabbi Akiva went to visit that student, he didn't actually take care of the student's needs himself. In fact, Rabbi Akiva had taken an entourage with him, and the Rush felt that the entourage was part of Rabbi Akiva establishing his own dignity and the way that he was supposed to. That in their times, at least, an important person didn't walk around without an entourage. And so even though Rabbi Akiva didn't always take an entourage, when it came to visiting the sick, the Rush felt he should have brought an entourage with him as an honor issue, but also because then once he got there, if there were needs of the ill person, the other people could take care of those needs. Now, when it comes to Pikuach Nefesh, that'll be different. But the Rush is saying, Rav Moshe is saying, that if the Torah scholar can find a way to have these needs taken care of without the Torah scholar himself doing it, not just a Bikur Cholim, but once one is at a Bikur Cholim visit, once it is visiting a person who is ill, part of the mitzvah of Bikur Cholim, part of the mitzvah of visiting the ill, is to try to help them in whatever needs they need help. So the Rush is saying, yeah, but the room needed to be swept, so it's true. If Rabbi Akiva was the only one there, he would have had to do it. But better that Rabbi Akiva bring people with him who could then take care of it, rather than Rabbi Akiva doing it himself. So that's an interesting addendum to our discussion. For all that it's true that a Torah scholar shouldn't think of his own honor in terms of going to visit the ill, the Rush at least thinks that if the Torah scholar can find ways to have the needs of the ill person be met without the Torah scholar himself foregoing the honor appropriate to him, that would be preferable. When it comes to Pikuach Nefesh, though, Rav Moshe points out, that's not necessarily true, because when it comes to Pikuach Nefesh, we rule, when it comes to saving lives, that when it comes to things like Shabbos, we prefer sometimes that we have the Torah scholar do the Pikuach Nefesh, because we're worried that other people won't take it as seriously, when, or especially if they see the Torah scholar refraining from doing it, that might lead them to say, oh, it must not be so important. Torah scholar is trying to offload on other people. So when it comes to Pikuach Nefesh, that could be a different situation, that there, you have to, it might be the Torah scholar is supposed to do it himself. That's what we say in certain other life-saving situations. But when it came to the situation with this ill person, which was not a life-saving situation, there the Rush felt that the Rabbi Akiva would have tried to make sure to do it in ways that would not get in the way of his honor. So, just to a quick recap, to close up by a half hour, I try to keep these to about a half an hour. Quick recap, Rav Moshe is saying that the reason why Bikur Cholim, why Torah scholars and those who are otherwise honored, who sometimes are allowed to forego certain mitzvot, allowed to forego the observance of certain commandments, like returning a lost object or testifying in court or dancing at a wedding in a very vigorous way, if that's beneath their honor, even though that might be true in those situations, because the standard would be what one would do for one's own relative or one's own simcha or for one's own money. When it comes to Bikur Cholim, Rav Moshe thinks, when it comes to visiting the sick, Rav Moshe thinks the halacha is telling us that there, those kinds of calculations are inappropriate. And a Torah scholar, even if the person they're visiting, and even if the visit involves some kind of taking away of their ordinary dignity, there it shouldn't be a factor in the discussion of Bikur Cholim, in the discussion of visiting the sick, because visiting the sick is important enough in terms of reducing the physical pain of the person who is ill. The one little exception to that is, he does note that the Rosh seems to think that while doing that, the Torah scholar could and perhaps should find ways to be sure that the needs of the sick person once he gets there will be taken care of by other people, because if that's possible, that those needs can be taken care of by others, there, if it's not a life-saving situation, it's appropriate to let others do it rather than the Torah scholar himself. Have a good day.